Running a Shopify store and drowning in shipping chaos? ShipStation can fix this for you. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels with advanced automation, batch processing, and shipping discounts that a single platform just doesn't offer. Like discounts up to 90% off major carriers. See how ShipStation can make shipping for your Shopify store better. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
If you grew up eating Pepperidge Farm goldfish, this will come as a somewhat of a surprise, but the incredible marketing person at Pepperidge Farm is hoping that you'll be into this. They want to remind you that eating goldfish is not just for kids, it's for adults too. So they're renaming temporarily goldfish to Chilean sea bass.
Chilean sea bass. So isn't that the name that they basically assign to all sorts of fish that just sounds like a simple fish?
No, I always say it's cod. Cod is like the whatever plain white fish.
But that's what I'm saying, right? They just assigned that name to it.
Whatever. This is a marketing ploy, and who cares? You can go to their, you can buy the limited edition packages of the Chilean sea bass crackers.com. You can go there and has all the information. And
they will
and
not
whatever.
Taste like Chilean sea bass, right?
No. It's the exact same packaging as the goldfish, except it says Chilean sea bass.
Okay.
Now, none of that matters. You want to know what does matter?
What?
When I graduated college, I applied for a communications position at Pepperidge Farm. I had never wanted a job so badly in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I was fresh out of college. It was everything I wanted. Internal communications, writing newsletters, coming up with ideas. Oh, my gosh. And I think to myself, what would have happened if I got that job?
Right. Like for you and the brand, would you have made Goldfish Crackers the ruler of the universe? Would you have become, in fact, the ruler of the Goldfish Crackers yourself?
I don't know. I was really into the fact they also made Milano cookies, and those were my favorite. But it's funny when you think about what could have been. Like, what could have been if I had gotten that job? I most likely wouldn't be sitting here.
I mean, of course not.
I would have gone through the whole marketing communications department and become a corporate person, and I would have went that path.
I love that in your mind, it automatically worked out.
Right.
I mean, you could have gotten that job and got fired 30 days in because you got into it with somebody in the cafe or something.
I doubt I would have done that. I probably would have excelled. It's probably the biggest mistake of their life, honestly.
Right.
Pepperidge Farm, like they're like looking back now, they're like, if we ever made a mistake, it was not hiring Anna Zapp back in 2007 or whatever it was.
I mean, I feel like you're dismissing this ad campaign. So, I mean, a better question might have been is, what would be your answer to the Chilean sea bass ad campaign?
I'm not into this ad.
We'll never know.
I mean, it doesn't even matter because whoever came up with this, like, good luck. All right, here we go. The World Series starts today between the Dodgers and the Yankees. And it's going to be a showdown for sure. The first two games are going to be played in Los Angeles.
I just love it. When you try and dip your toe into that sports world.
Sports is not my thing.
It's going to be a battle.
It's going to be a battle royale.
It's a big thing.
Here's Aaron Judge talking about the season so far in the future.
I think our confidence never changed. We never faltered after a couple tough games, after a couple tough series. We knew what we're capable of and what we can do. So, you know, this is a confident group that goes out there and lays it on the line every single game. So, you know, just how gritty they are to go through the ups and downs and keep pushing forward.
Yeah. All right. Sounds good, right? Yeah.
This is going to be a big shootout. This is these are both stacked teams. They match up against each other well in some areas. In other ways, they're like polar opposites. So it's definitely going to be good viewing. Starts tonight.
And Shohei Ohtani, so he's the other MVP. So it's kind of like MVP versus MVP.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what he had to say about going against somebody at this magnitude like Aaron Judge. And, of course, he's going through a translator. So.
You know, two really good teams competing against each other. You know, obviously Judge is a really good player, but so is Soto and a lot of the players on the Yankees team. And it's going to take all of us to really win the series.
Sounds good.
I mean, it's exactly what you expect. It's player speak.
Right, it's player speak.
It's
exactly.
All player speak right now. It's time to actually play the games.
I wonder if Shohei is going to start trending as a new baby name. I wouldn't be surprised.
I mean, I'm sure in his home country, it's a huge name.
Absolutely. So they just released the hottest baby names for 2025, and they have a lot to do with sports and rap beef.
Okay.
Yeah, so if you're having trouble picking a baby name, you can watch sports or listen to a rap battle, because according to BabyCenter.com, the Olympic French names are trending, probably because we just went through the Olympics. Raphael is among the hottest for 2025 parents to be.
Okay.
Raphael. And the same goes for Caitlin, thanks to WNBA's Rookie of the Year, Caitlin Clark, which I thought was very nice. And then if you were wondering who won the rap battle between Kendrick Lamar and Drake, Kendrick, the name Kendrick, yeah, is building in popularity, and the name Drake has fallen 100 spots.
All you had to do to know who won that rap battle was look at the Billboard charts.
Yeah, they not like us.
It's over.
Mm-hmm. And today's also a big day for the Menendez brothers, because this is the resentencing, which is wild to think that they've been in jail for years now, decades, and because of a Netflix documentary, they might be getting out.
I mean, this is, I mean, I think they're probably going to be, right? Like, mm-hmm, a lot of this stuff, you know, this is how you get things done now, whether it's a podcast or whatever that, you know, stokes the investigators to put more resources in that area. Listen, there's always somebody that's on a case that's still working that case somewhere that believes. And if you get some resources behind it, big things can happen.
And because they were both convicted when they were under the age of 26, it would make them available for parole if it passes immediately.
Yeah.
They could go, which is why inmates are trying to get their hands on their stuff because, yep, they think they'll be able to sell it after the brothers are freed.
Well, even if they don't get to sell it for an upcharge, like, everybody needs a television, right? Everybody needs some books in their library in the cell, you know? Probably got some rig that they can go ahead and jam into a socket and cook themselves some Udas and Noodles, anything that goes.
It's going to be weird when on eBay you can buy Lyle Menendez's socks.
What if one of them was like an amateur tattoo artist inside? Right? Like, he's got like that whole thing. It's made out of a guitar string and a couple of batteries that he's, you know, glued together.
If this happens, it'll be wild. It'll be 100% wild, but I guess we'll find out. Coming up tomorrow, I am rappelling off an 18-story building for charity, and I am terrified because I'm afraid of heights. Amy Morin, she's a psychotherapist, host of the Mentally Stronger podcast. Amy, what do I do? How do you get over fears?
Like you got to protect her besides like blowing up a big balloon on the ground.
Okay. Well, you know, our bodies respond to some kind of event, a stimulus, as if we need to take action. And your body's going to say, hey, we could die here. And it's going to respond accordingly. So
correct,
your heart might start to beat faster. Your palms might get sweaty. You might feel dizzy, all sorts of things, because those responses are meant to protect us from predators and life and death situations. But our bodies don't know sometimes that, like, giving a speech isn't life or death, or rappelling on the side of a building when you probably have lots of safety measures in place isn't going to kill you. In your case, we've got 24 hours to help you work on this fear. But there's still things we can do to make it a little bit more tolerable for you.
Amy, are you going to abandon all the techniques that you learned in school and go straight to magic or sorcery? Or what is it we're going to do to make this happen this quick?
Raven said, just close my eyes.
I said, sing a silly song and close her eyes.
Well, you know, those are actually not bad ideas. Part of it might be coming up with a plan. Like, if I start to freak out, then I will, and it's maybe sing a song. I will ask somebody to help. I'll change my mind when you get there if you absolutely don't want to do it. Maybe give yourself an out. And we know that we tolerate fear better when we know we don't have to do something, when we have a choice. So reminding yourself that this is a choice might help. It may not feel like a choice, but it is. Mm-hmm. And then the thoughts that you have can either intensify your fear or help decrease it.
So don't think of falling.
Thank you.
Exactly.
Very helpful, Raven. Very helpful.
Thoughts of death and horrible things will definitely increase your fear. So singing a song in your head could be an amazing distraction. Or you might find that putting the instructions over and over in your mind, like, I'm going to put one foot behind the other as I rappel down this building, or I'm going to put my hand here, my next hand, and just walk yourself through the motions, that might help. Mm-hmm. Or maybe you find it helpful to come up with a little saying to say to yourself, like, this is for charity. This is for charity. I'm earning money for charity. And repeating that phrase in your head, just so if your mind starts to go to all sorts of dark places, you can drown out those thoughts. And so that would be some things to take care of your brain. And then when it comes to the response from your body, you want to make sure that you're breathing. When we're anxious, we tend to have really shallow breathing and our heart rate starts to increase, and that makes us breathe even more shallow. So what you want to do is just take some slow, deep breaths. And when your body feels like it's starting to panic, remind yourself, I'm excited right now because this is an amazing thing that I'm doing.
Amy, do you want to be my therapist? Like, you're good.
Yeah. Like, I have this theory, Amy. When I have fears, I have a just do it. Like, just, like, stop being a wimp, go jump off the freaking building, and it'll be over before you know it. Like, and I don't know, is that the right way to go about it?
I didn't hear her say any of those things, but
no.
It is. As long as you know the thing that you're doing is relatively safe. But what you don't want to do is spend the next 24 hours perseverating on it, dreading it, ruminating on it, because it was going to ruin the next 24 hours. And this is a time where you want to enjoy life and get enough sleep and make sure that you're eating so that you're prepared for tomorrow.
Right, in case it goes wrong.
And worry all day.
In case it's my last meal. I got it, Amy. I heard you.
I think you'll feel better if Amy just goes with you.
I think so, too. Would it be awkward if you just whisper in my ear the whole way down?
That's right.
I give you an earpiece?
Yeah. All right. Amy Morin, she's a psychotherapist, host of the Mentally Stronger podcast. You can find her online and all of her incredible books. Amy Morin, LCSW.com. Thank you, Amy.
And thank you. And good luck with your adventure.
Imagine if you had to pick a song that might be the last you ever heard. And it would represent you in death.
Yeah.
That's a big, tall order right there.
I mean, even the people on the Titanic, the band was making the choices. It's not like they were calling out requests.
It's true. I'm deathly afraid of heights. That's not going to stop me. Tomorrow, I will be rappelling / jumping off an 18-story building for charity. I'm happy to do it, but I am terrified and scared.
Come on. You're going to rock this thing.
I mean, it's going to happen. What's going to happen at the end, I don't know, but I'm going over the edge. Now, here's the thing, is that when we were talking to one of the leaders of the organization, she told me this.
You get to even pick your kind of your rappelling theme song. So if you have like your like walk up music, it's kind of your rappelling music.
What am I going to pick?
So
how long
good.
Does it take?
Like 2 minutes, you know.
You want something calming or you want something like jamming?
No, I need something like to pump me up.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, like if it all goes down and not in a good way, I want to go out with something banging in the back.
Yeah. Does it make you more nervous to have this kind of circus type atmosphere around it while it's going on? Like there's food trucks, there's kids with balloons, there's like music playing. Like, does that make you more
and
nervous?
And there's my body dangling 13 stories above you.
Like,
I don't know.
You know, when there's window washers, like, they're paying attention. It's the only thing they're doing. You know what I mean?
Who cares? Because they have to listen to a song that I'm rappelling over their heads.
Okay.
So now I was trying to figure out what songs I could pick, and I mean, there's a lot of good options. You could go with something that's traditional like this.
So you're trying to, like,
psych myself out?
What you're trying to at least, you know, predict your outcome is what you're trying to
do. Like, I'm a survivor.
You're like,
I survived it.
You're right, I'm going to make it.
Or something like this.
Yeah. Doesn't kill you, makes you stronger. That one I get.
Yeah, like,
Kelly
Clarkson's
got like 5 of those for that.
Yeah, like, but I can do anything, right?
Right.
I don't know. What ideas do you have?
I've got 2 choices for you, right? Because I feel like there's 2 frames of mind for this. So I've got one that's like throwback, like same thing. I'm not going to take no for an answer. I can make myself do this. Plus, you can wear sagging pants and you can just come with straight attitude. Maybe have a bandana turned to the side like Tupac.
Do you think they'll let me jump off the building if my jeans are on backwards?
I don't know, to tell you the truth.
Where is Crisscross? Do we even know what happened to those guys?
I think one of them passed away.
Maybe. Oh, really? Oh,
yeah,
that's
so be
terrible.
Careful.
Are you sure?
I mean, I think if he came really, really close recently. It wasn't good. I can tell you that.
I mean, that's not a bad one. Like, just jump.
Daddy Mac or the Mac Daddy, but it was one of them.
Yeah.
All right. And then I have another, like, you know, frame of mind there where it's like, you know, zen, where you're just kind of embracing the atmosphere and the energy and you'll be totally fine. Like Billie Eilish, just, you know, spread your wings.
It's
like
the last thing I want.
Seabird and just, you know, kind of fly off the side of the building.
Realistically.
Possibly defecate on somebody below.
No, that's not going to happen.
That's what birds do.
I don't want to do that.
Okay, all right.
Neither of those are good options. But then I was thinking I could get real with the people that are watching.
I'll like, get real.
What am I feeling right at that moment as I'm leaping off a building and I'm terrified of heights?
Okay.
I am not okay.
Nope.
I'm hanging on the rail.
I'm hanging off a building.
Hanging on the rope.
If I say I'm fine, just know I learned to hide it well.
Yeah,
when you
lying.
Say, are you ready? I want you to know that's not true. And then I was thinking about it, and I was like, what if I picked this song?
Even though the gods are crazy, even though the stars are blind.
What?
If you show me real love, baby, I'll show you.
If I die to this song, I don't want to be in the newspapers being like, she died to Paris Hilton's song, Stars Are Blind. Why would she pick that song? I can't let it happen, and I can't believe in my good mind that God would let that happen to me.
Right.
So that's the one song that I can guarantee that if I jump off the building to, I'll have to survive, because that kind of karma can't follow me. I'm a good person.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Everybody's flaky these days. We make plans and we break them. Well, as you can probably guess, that's bad manners.
It is bad manners. And it's one of my biggest pet peeves is when people cancel. Like when you have plans with somebody and then they cancel last minute. Mm. I know a lot of people do it. I know it's mainstream now, but it infuriates me much.
It's mainstream.
It's very in.
It's been accepted. It is one of your pet peeves, and it has been for a very long time.
And I have this one friend.
Ever since I've known you.
She's been one of my closest friends since I was a little girl, and I adore her and everything. She is a last minute canceler, and it makes me so upset because I don't get to see her that often.
Yeah.
So when we finally lock down a date and a time,
you're like, okay, we're handling that.
And
right?
It's never,
we're gonna spend
it's
the
never
time.
Convenient.
No, of course not.
No, like she lives an hour away. Like it's not convenient. And you have to figure out like who's gonna watch the kids. Like, can my husband come home early? Like, mm-hmm. You gotta figure all the stuff. And I've gotten to the point where I almost don't put our dates into my calendar anymore because without fail, she will cancel.
Yeah.
And she canceled again last night. And I was so upset about it because I really wanted to see her, obviously, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
But also because how many times are we going to play this game?
Well, you're frustrated by the situation, right?
Right.
It's gone on over and over and it's repetitious. And it's, you know, like you said, it's a disappointment, right? Like
mm-hmm.
You're up on a high. You're like, we're finally doing it. Even though it's tough,
yep.
You're pumped when you're finally in position to do it and then it doesn't happen.
And then here comes the text. Oh, work is crazy. Mm-hmm. Do you think we can reschedule for next week? For the first time ever, I was like, I don't know. Let me see. And then I didn't respond after that.
Oh.
Yeah. And you want to know what? I started looking online. So I'm like, how do other people handle this? And I found one of those internet experts.
Oh,
and
boy.
She gives three ways to handle when you have a flaky friend.
There's this thing that my flaky friends do. They ask me when things are happening and who's going to be there. So I can always feel their slow cancel coming.
Oh, yeah. That's a good tactic. You've got to
right.
look for that.
Because mm-hmm. they want to evaluate whether or not they really, truly want to be there.
Uh-huh.
Like if it's going to be the ideal situation for their visit.
Yep.
But the best way to deal with flaky friends is to, A, treat them as people, even when they're treating you like dirt.
I mean, when do we not treat people like people?
Is that real advice?
Yeah, I guess.
How many people viewed that?
Like millions.
You found it.
Yeah.
B, don't expect them to show for the big stuff so that you can sometimes be surprised when they do.
I'm supposed to like reward
mm-hmm.
the flaky friend and be like, you made, oh my gosh.
Yeah, no, aim low.
Oh.
Right, low expectations, right? Mm-hmm. And then you get, you know, high surprise factor.
Yep.
And C, most importantly, don't give it back to them. That's key. As long as it's not a wrinkle in your schedule to show up for their stuff, be there. Don't be a flaky person.
Oh, it's, seriously.
I don't feel like there was real advice in there.
There wasn't.
But I get it.
Do.
Like she touched on your emotional points.
I watched a lot of like psychological videos too.
You want to brainwash this friend
no,
to go ahead and keep plans?
You're supposed to address it. And you're supposed to say, like, it really bothers me that every time we make
yeah.
plans, you flake out and you cancel. And here's the thing. It's like, I will stop what I'm doing. If it's in my calendar, that's what I'm supposed to be doing. So I think when people are not like that
yeah.
and not like me, it bothers me.
Right. I mean, so you don't want to be over the top with it.
Right.
Basically,
then it seems,
right. Because then it seems like it's not a them thing. It's a you thing.
And it makes me sound like a crazy person. Right. Like when I'm like.
Could be.
Absolutely. But another thing that she did bring up that I thought was really smart was the difference between a soft cancel and a slow cancel.
I'm not sure. 24 hours before, I soft cancel, which is different from a slow cancel. Slow cancel. When is it again? Oh, who's going to be there? Oh, I don't think I can make it. Soft cancel. Thanks for the invite, Chelsea. Work is looking crazy. I'm not sure I'll be able to make it.
Mm-hmm.
Just wanted to let you know in advance.
See, if I just would have that heads up the
yeah.
day before, like maybe I might not be able to make it tomorrow, I'll know not to get into a fight with my husband about him coming home from work early. You know what I mean?
There's layers to this
yes.
thing. There is. I wish you luck.
Laura, who's going to win this World Series?
Wow, coming hot and heavy. I think it might be the Yankees, but this is genuinely one of those toss-ups because these are two heavyweight fighters. And, you know, if it goes fewer than 6 or 7 games, I'm going to be shocked.
Laura Albanese, sports columnist with Newsday.
41 appearances for the Yankees, like 22 for the Dodgers, and they've seen each other a lot too, Laura.
They face a lot. The Yankees have won a 27 World Series. Dodgers last won in 2020 during the COVID shortened season.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, the storyline that everyone's going to be looking at is the battle of the two presumptive MVPs. So the Dodgers, you got Shohei Ohtani, and on the Yankees, you've got Aaron Judge, who's kind of had a down postseason. But frankly, with him, it just feels like a matter of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you want him to get hot right at that moment. I also saw it's going to be the most expensive World Series in history, which makes a lot of sense. But Anna needs to know how to talk talk about baseball.
So I sound somewhat knowledgeable when I'm around my friends. What are some things that I should know or say to sound like I know exactly what's happening?
Here, I've got a few for you. We have Giancarlo Stanton is really heating up this year in the postseason. I wonder if this makes a case for him as a Hall of Famer.
Giancarlo Stanton.
I mean, you're writing it down.
Giancarlo.
He's one of the biggest stars on the team.
I've never even heard of him. What team does he play for? Which one? Which team?
He plays for the Yankees.
Okay.
This is
all right.
Embarrassing.
All right. Well, I don't know. All right. I don't know.
Hey, well, you know what? Okay. I mean, everybody needs to learn, all right? Everyone learns at their own pace.
All right. So he might become a Hall of Famer. That's good to know. Well, here's what I do know is the Shohei Ohtani ball sold for $4.4 million, but then nobody knows who that ball is going to.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of interesting because there are certain situations where the team will send security down and they'll whisk the fan aside and they'll be like, we'll trade you like a signed bat or whatever in exchange for the baseball. But a lot of fans are wising up because they're like, okay, so maybe it won't get certified that I caught it, but if I can actually put this on, you know, some sort of auction site, I can make millions of dollars.
Right.
Which is way more than a signed bat. But you do run into problems like this where it's like, okay, what's the authenticity of this ball? So that's going to be interesting to see how that plays out.
And what else do you think is going to be the big factor over the next few days as these games start?
I mean, one of the things that you want to be looking at is the Dodgers starting pitching. Namely, they don't have any. Their game one starter, Jack Flaherty, has a 7.07 ERA in the playoffs. That's been okay for them because they have such good relievers and because they can hit the tar out of the ball. So it's going to be the question of whether or not that really high-powered Dodgers offense can get neutralized by Yankees pitching. And then you can't forget the fact that the Yankees have obviously extremely good hitters of their own. You got Judge, you got Stanton, you got Juan Soto, and a pretty deep lineup right now.
All right, back to the baseball party. Give her one more thing to say. Right, give her something to drop, a bomb to drop.
All right, so we did Giancarlo Stanton, we did the Dodgers, I don't know about their starting pitching.
Right.
I love the Dodgers one because it's so open-ended. You just say like five words and then people have to like pivot and talk about it for 20 minutes.
Oh, yeah. You could just like set people off and they could be like, oh, I hate the bullpen games. I can't believe this. you could always say like, I really hope this isn't Juan Soto's last game in pinstripes. He's a generational talent. He'll be turning 26 on game one of the World Series. And for a talent like that to be that young and coming in this expensive this offseason, that's going to be a big deal.
That's
big,
a lot of
money.
Things for me to say and to remember. Also, Juan Soto plays for which
Juan
team,
Soto,
Juan Soto?
Come
plays
back.
Which
he's a Yankee.
Okay, good.
And be like, wow, I really hope Juan Soto comes back to the Yankees.
Got
there
it.
There you go.
Oh, Laura, thank you so much. You're the best. Can we check in with you early next week?
Sounds good.
All right, thank you. Sometimes you see a post on Facebook and you know that everybody's going to go crazy in the comments. Mm. And that's exactly what happened. Tina wrote on a Disney Facebook page, and I belong to like a bunch of different ones. I don't even know the differences, but there's a million of them.
Yeah.
And I knew the minute it posted, I saw it, and I go, oh, here we go.
Yeah, it's about to pop off.
Get the popcorn ready. She wrote, my daughter is 39 and a half inches with shoes on. We're going in 20 days, so she probably will not be 40 inches by then. She's obsessed with Tiana and loves all rides. Of course, she wants to ride Tiana's Bayou Adventure, and she wants to know how she can get on. Any tips for this mom?
Half an inch, right?
Like is so little.
You think they'd really, you know, pay attention? You think they've got like a micrometer there? You think that they're
well,
really?
Now remember, she's half an inch with shoes on.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know the answer to this.
Get like, bigger shoes.
Well, there's so many comments and there's people ripping her apart. If she's not tall enough, why would you want to put her on this? Now, if you're not familiar, this is the new Splash Mountain. They reimagined it as Tiana. So there's a log flume. He's gonna fly out if you're not tall enough.
It's a big one, right? Like,
yes.
I remember, you
it's
know.
Huge. Is half an inch going to make a difference? How do you make your kid look taller? Is it wrong to make your kid look taller? Or do you shove things in their shoes? I'm just curious what people think about this. And have you ever done it? Have you ever found a way to like sneak your kid on a ride? Or do you think that's morally wrong?
I mean, I feel like I snuck on a lot of rides when I was younger, right? But, you know, the setting says a lot, right? Because it is the biggest park in the world. So, you know, that they've got a whole lot to protect. And they break hearts every single day. Yeah, they make memories, but they break hearts too.
I'm trying to remember, do they walk around with a stick? I know a lot of these amusement parks, they have the stick.
Yeah.
You know?
And when you walk up to one and you see that it's got the flap that folds out like you're at a doctor's office, then you got problems.
Yeah.
Right? You see the other one where you're like, is that even, you know, attached to the ground? Is that flat? Who's checking if this is level? Then you know that you probably got a better way to go.
Tyler, is it messed up to make your kids seem taller to get on a ride?
I mean, barely. No, I don't think so. And I mean, I don't even think it's that. It's not even that dangerous a ride, is it? I think just, you know, they should put little lifts in the kid's shoes, you know, get that little half inch that you need. I mean, it works for Tom Cruise, so.
Everybody says that. Put the stuff in the shoes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a lot of wood chips at Disney, as I remember, in the landscaping areas, right? Just stuff those in your shoes right there at the last minute.
That seems really uncomfortable for a child.
I mean, you only got to get through this one line, right? It is a long line, though. Besides the flume, I mean, there's nothing to worry about.
Yeah,
right?
It's the flume part where you go down, which is very alarming. And to me, I would think that child would fly right up. I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, they might, actually. Yeah.
I mean, look, you know, when I was a kid, we would double up on our socks, you know. I mean, we always bought those shoes that were, like, kind of higher in platform, but then you wear the jeans, like those big, you know. They were almost like bell bottoms, but a little, you know.
Right.
I think they called them JNCO, you know, and they kind of hide the fact that our, you know, shoes were lifted, so.
That's funny.
Yeah.
In the 70s, Anna, everybody got on every ride because platform shoes were a thing.
They still survived it, I
right.
guess.
Right, they're still here.
Maybe. We were not really sure.
Yeah, we don't know. That was a long time ago.
True. You ever see something on Facebook and you know immediately there's going to be 1,000 comments and they're going to be all over the place and nuts? Mm-hmm. It's exactly what happened. I follow a bunch of Disney Facebook pages to try to always keep figuring out what the changes are and
right.
whatever. You
How
know.
Do I get in this line? How am I going to get on this ride in time? What's it going to cost? Sure.
I feel like even if I don't have a trip to Disney planned, I'm always reading them. I don't know how.
You have to pay attention to it because it's going to be that one thing that could save your life the next time you do have the trip, right?
Anyway, so there was a post from a mom who talked about her daughter being 39 and a half inches tall and wanting to go on Tiana's new ride, which is the old Splash Mountain, the log flume that goes down. And they were talking, she was saying, like, it'll break her heart if she can't go on it. How do I make her get taller and get on the ride?
Mm-hmm.
And the comments went nuts. They were like, you know, why we don't put your daughter's life in danger? They're not going to let her on the ride. And then the other parents are like, of course you let her go. I see both sides because Disney is an expensive trip. And if you don't go often, like, and your kid really wants to go on a ride and they're not going to get the opportunity to, sure.
Right. Like, how long is it going to be till you're back there?
But I'm about safety. I'm a dork like that, you know, quote unquote dork. I wouldn't do it just because I'm scared. But what do you think? Maria, is it messed up to make your kids taller to get on a ride?
No. I know that sounds bad, but I had that similar situation with my daughter, who's now 12.
Mm-hmm. What did you do?
We put some kind of insoles in her shoes, and we put a really high ponytail on her head so she would make measurements, you know. And it worked.
Yeah. Worked.
Well, big reveal. She got on the ride. Did she fly out of the ride?
No, she did not. She's still here with me, thankfully.
Good. Thank
good.
God.
Right, good. Thank you. Good result, then.
Brian, is it messed up to try to make your child seem taller to get on a ride?
No, absolutely not. I've done it. I've had my kid in the taller heel shoes just to get them on the rides, you know, when they missed by half an inch or so. And it worked on more than one ride. So, I mean, you know, because I had two kids, one made it, one didn't. So the other one didn't feel as bad. But I made sure I sat right behind the kid and kind of held them in the seat so they were safe the whole time.
If they fly out, you can grab his ankle. Right.
Nobody in the line was like, why is this 7-year-old wearing platform Louboutin shoes?
And
nobody
sitting on his dad's lap.
Yeah, it's so weird.
Hey, Celeste, what do you say? Is this a terrible thing that this mother did trying to figure out how to get her daughter on the ride?
Well, in my experience, I did the same thing when my son was younger. Mm-hmm. We put Timberland boots on him.
Yeah.
And we got him on a ride, and he was too small for her, and he almost fell out.
Oh my gosh.
See, this is the nightmare. This is why I am the way I am.
It took myself, my sister, and my brother, who was behind us, to hold him in, and they had to stop the ride and let us off because he almost came out of the ride.
Oh, that's it. I'm flagging all of you guys. I'm taking a photo, headshot of each, the four of you. You are banned.
See, this is the nightmare stuff that fuels me.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
He's 21 years old now, and I still have nightmares about it.
Yeah, yep. Well, I mean, until he's at least 40 inches tall, I would too. I understand. Thanks for the
Thanks
call.
Thanks a lot. Have a great day. Hey, Amy, what do you think? Messed up to do this? Make your kids seem taller to get on a ride?
No, I don't, because we did it when my son was younger. We went to Disney, and he wanted to go on the rocking coaster, but he was a little too short. So he had on socks and sneakers that day. So we took off the socks, and we rolled them up underneath his heels. So it gave him that half an inch that he can go on the ride.
And did he survive it?
And he survived. He was just fine, and he had a great time.
Did he keep both his sneakers? I feel like one of the sneakers also takes its existence into peril.
No, none of them slide off. He kept both his sneakers. Okay. He was just fine.
Well, yeah.
Everybody made it.
It's time for Mommy's Margarita Friday.
Come to Mama.
Anna and Raven.
Mama's Margarita Friday. Of course, it doesn't matter if you're a mom or you're a dad or if your kids are human, have four legs, or you're just in charge of a whole company. We get it. It's not easy to be in charge, and this is your chance to just vent. Yolanda, what did you do this week to earn your margarita?
Well, my boss is an older fella, real traditional, real conservative, and he, you know, calls me baby doll and treats me like I am an uneducated nincompoop. And I very kindly and politely and professionally responded to all of his emails saying, thank you so much for the feedback, yada, yada, yada. And I always like to sign off with, thank you for all you do, because in my head, I can think, which isn't much. So I feel really good about being professional and calm and not walking out or anything.
I just got to say, Yolanda, nice use of the word nincompoop. When's the last time you called somebody a nincompoop?
I don't think I've ever done that. Maybe send an email to the Labor Department as well, right? Like, some people just need to wake up.
Can I just sidebar here and just tell you the correct spelling of nincompoop is nincompoop. And according to dictionary.com, it is a foolish or stupid person.
Yeah.
And they think that the origins, it makes sense. And the origins come from the Latin phrase non compos, meaning not of sound mind.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds so much better coming out of Plato's mouth. But hey, okay.
Nincompoop. Kayla, what did you do this week to earn your margarita?
I feel like I got a lot of things accomplished at home. We just moved. That was tiring. So moving, I deserve margarita.
Moving always is incredibly difficult and stressful.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if it's a studio apartment or a 3-bedroom or 4-bedroom house. It's just a lot. And then when you get there, still unpacking everything and then figuring out where it's going to go.
Mm-hmm.
Like, some of it is exciting, but the rest of it is really stressful.
I have 3 boxes that are still unpacked from a year and a half ago, and I don't know what's in them. And I just stare at them in my basement. And at this point, it's almost like an inside joke that I have with myself.
Right.
Where if I've gone this long, clearly I don't need it. So I should just never open them, throw them away, and let it be.
You should.
But there's that curiosity that's like, just see what's in there.
Yeah, what's in there? You're going to take it out.
Kayla, you deserve your margarita. Anybody that's going through a move deserves one, that's for sure. Enjoy it.
Thank you.
Hey, Susan, what'd you do this week to earn your margarita?
I painted my bathroom tub and the bathroom tile.
Does it work to paint the bathroom tub and the tile? Does it stay? Do you have to use a special kind of paint?
I mean, is it the actual tub?
Yes. Actually, you have to sand down the tiles first and sand down the tub. And then you put on 2 coats, and it takes a couple days. It was really hard work.
I would imagine so.
Right. I mean, I've never actually even heard that. Painting over the tile itself and the tub. Wow.
How's it look?
So far, it looks great. I was just tired of the pink tub and the white and pink tiles.
Well, that's now understandable.
White for now.
Right. That's understandable. Being tired of the pink tub, right. I mean, good job. I hope it stays looking great. Like, I hope it dries right and all that.
Susan, this is what I want you to do. I want you to pour yourself a margarita tonight, and I want you to sit on the toilet. Put down the lid first. And I want you to sit on top of the toilet seat, and I want you to admire your work and enjoy your margarita.
Can I ask a real question, though?
What?
Is it more comfortable to sit on top of the toilet seat, or is it more comfortable to just sit on the toilet?
No, sit on top of the toilet seat. I do it all the time.
Do you? Yeah, if you got a hard one, if you got the plastic ones, nope.
Yeah. Susan, what kind of toilet do you have? No, I'm just kidding.
Right.
I'm just kidding.
No, I want to know, what's the seat? Is it plastic or is it hard?
I prefer to sit on the toilet seat itself and not the lid.
All right, well then, fine. That's cool. If that's what makes you happy. Enjoy your margarita.
It's contoured. You know what? Enjoy your margarita, and congratulations.
Thank you so much.
What couple?
At 28, he's still exactly the same.
I get what she's saying, and I mean, I'm not proud of it or anything.
One problem.
Marty is just one of those really picky eaters.
You decide the outcome.
I mean, I'm not going to not go out to eat with my husband, but I guess I don't really have a choice, so.
It's Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us to let us know what their disagreement is about, and then it's up for you to decide who's right. Couples Court is powered by T-Mobile. Head to T-Mobile.com and get a great deal on iPhone 16 Pro. Victoria and Jonathan. Vicky, let's start with you. What's going on?
We have our youngest daughter is now in school. She's about 3 hours away. And unfortunately, she's the only one of our kids to kind of have problems adjusting. So my idea is to rent a small apartment so I'm close by. I can spend time with her, maybe make her food during the week, spend weekends with her just for a little while. But my husband and I aren't in agreement about that, and it's causing friction.
I'm assuming your daughter's in college.
Yeah, she just started school, freshman.
That's tough when they move. And
it's tough for everybody.
Yeah, of course.
It's tough for both of you, which I'm guessing is part of the issue with this, John.
What she didn't tell you is that, you know, she went to visit, and she's extended it. She's been there for 4 weeks now. And I guess that's why she's feeling like we should get an apartment. But again, it's 3 hours away. You know, we can certainly commute. I feel like trying to get an apartment is unfortunately going to eat away our retirement savings. And also, our daughter hasn't asked for this. And our other kids never had this problem this bad. Like, she's going to get there. She's going to adjust. This is part of going to college. It's just a part of this. She's gonna get through it and outgrow it. But for us to, like, make such an investment, even for a year, and eat it away into our savings, I just don't think it's worth it.
Victoria, did I hear correctly when John said that you've been staying there for the last 4 weeks?
It's not exactly 4 weeks. It's about 3 weeks and a few days. But yeah, she's not comfortable. And I don't think she will have her best experience and get the most from her college education if she's stressed out with anxiety. I'd rather just be there to, like, help her, you know, softly land.
An interesting situation. I mean, obviously, listen, if your daughter is having a difficult time, having a support system or, you know, some sort of insulation in place can be obviously a very important thing. On the other hand, it's not really like she left and went to school then if your mom is right around the corner, right? Like, it's not really the same experience, like you said, John. And they're not doing it for free. They're not putting you up at the school with your own apartment for free. And your daughter hasn't asked for this.
I feel bad, like, deep diving it, but, like, what's wrong besides being lonely? Like, is she just sad or is it more? Because some kids go through a lot of mental issues when they move away from home for the first time.
She hasn't met very many people. She feels overwhelmed. She has anxiety. She's not sleeping well. She's not eating right. And I feel like we had kids. This is my job. And this is the last time they'll ever be at home and our babies. And I just want to make sure I'm giving her the best foundation. It doesn't seem like that big of a deal.
I actually think we're doing a disservice to her because we're not allowing her to grow into her own and be her own person. I know she's my daughter and we're not exactly the same person, but I don't remember that was ever any of the cool kids or the kids that wanted to hang out with anybody were the ones that had their parents around all the time. Mm-hmm. You know,
right, I don't need her to be cool.
But
I need her to be secure and comfortable and confident.
Is it out of line that Victoria wants to get an apartment and go there back and forth as much as her daughter needs her? If your child was having a really hard time in college, would you get an apartment down the street so they could always see mom and dad whenever they needed and they could visit regularly? That's what's going on with Victoria and Jonathan, their daughter. It's their youngest daughter. She's having issues at college like none of their other kids did. And Victoria has been living in an apartment down the street from the school for the last 3 weeks trying to get her acclimated. And now she wants to buy an apartment. She's like, well, then we could come visit and stay as long as we want.
Yeah. John thinks that's all nonsense. Number one, this is not part of their financial plans. Number two, listen, the daughter hasn't asked the mom to stay. It's a situation where, she's having a little hard time adjusting, but he says that's all part of the experience of going to college. She has to stand on her own two feet. And by the way, everybody has a different definition of what a struggle is, right? Mm-hmm. Because you're bored, because you're lonely, because you don't have somebody to hang out with the first Friday or Saturday night, it doesn't mean that you're in a terrible spot.
Whose side are you on? Catherine?
I'm on the husband's side for sure. We're such an anxiety-ridden society because we don't let kids grow up. And this is part of growing up. It's her issue. It's not her daughter's issue. Her daughter will be fine if she lets her feel the pain of growing up.
If your youngest child was off to college and was having a very difficult time acclimating, would you get an apartment down the street so that you could visit often? The Couples Court verdict is powered by Leaf Filter. Protect your home and never clean out gutters again with Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
John thinks it's ridiculous his wife Victoria wants to sign a lease for an apartment down the street from their daughter's college campus so that she can hang out in the area, make her dinner during the week, hang out with her on the weekends, all because right now the daughter's a bit lonely at school. He thinks this is all part of the process of growing up.
What do you think? Anne Marie, whose side are you on?
Oh, my God. The mom needs to cut the apron strings. This is just terrible. The daughter needs to learn to stand on her own two feet. Our daughter, when she was a freshman, had a bad breakup 3 days into college. She wanted to come home, and we were like, absolutely not. You finish out the semester, and if you still are upset, then you're going to go to a state school. And my daughter is 4.5 hours away now. Totally thriving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a senior.
Yeah. And having a great time. Yeah. It's a flip of a dime there when you're there. When you're in a situation when you feel lonely and all that, like it's literally one relationship can change the entire thing.
And that's exactly what happened with my daughter.
Sure.
She met one friend and they've been best friends. They're rooming together. And it's just, you know, totally, totally different. But the mom needs to go home.
Candace, what do you think?
I'm on his side. Their daughter needs to adjust. And I agree. Like, she didn't ask for this. So, yeah, like, his side, 100%.
It would be a big deal if she had asked for it, right? It'd change maybe your opinion, possibly.
No. I mean,
absolutely.
Either way, I think she has to go home. You know, of course
right.
She's going to say, she's going to look at you with those big eyes and be like, yeah, stay, mommy. Of course she is.
But she hasn't. I mean, that's a key right here.
Well, because
right?
She hasn't left.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
Cindy, what do you think? Whose side are you on today?
Oh, gosh. I'm on the dad's side. Schools have resources to kind of address these issues. And this seems a little extreme. If they want her to transition to being on her own or being in the college campus, it really would probably be more appropriate to access what they have on campus. This isn't helping the situation with mom being so close.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Jonathan, our audience agreed with you today. Victoria, it might have a lot to do with her being your youngest and now it's empty nest. And maybe she's taking the move really hard and she is having a lot of issues. That's okay, too. But moving there, all it's doing is giving her a crutch. It's not letting her heal and move on with her life. So no apartment. You got to give her space and come home.
Hi, you know, I'm a mom. I disagree. I'm going to baby her as long as I can. But I appreciate people offering an opinion, and it'll give me something to think about over the next couple of months while I'm here.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I just, you know, it is only 3 hours, Victoria, but obviously you're going to do what your heart tells you to do. John, good luck. People side with you. They understand the situation. However, you know, they can't tell Victoria, obviously, how to feel.
Thank you. Yeah, that's very true. I mean, I appreciate just being able to extend this conversation further. So,
okay. If you have a problem too, send an email, couplescore@annonraven.com. The Can't Beat Raven Cash jackpot is $1,000, powered by BetterHelp. BetterHelp makes it easy to match with a licensed therapist. Get 10% off your first month of online therapy at betterhelp.com/annonraven. Marianne, you ready to play?
Yes.
Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Hi, Raven. Please leave the room.
You got it. Good luck, Marianne.
All right. He's going to walk out of here. He can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. Marianne, I'm going to tell you, if you can get all five of these right, you're going to beat him today. I am 100% certain. He can't hear us.
Okay.
The thing is that you only have 3 seconds to answer each of these five pop culture questions. He'll come back in, get the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. You ready to do it?
I'm ready.
Number one, Kelly Clarkson found out she was pre-diabetic and says she needs to start listening to her doctors. She once starred with another American Idol finalist, Justin Guarini, in a movie that was considered one of the biggest musical rom-com flops in history. What was it called?
from Justin to Kelly.
Number two, Tom Holland has been very open about his almost 3-year sobriety journey. What superhero does Tom Holland portray?
Spider-Man.
Number three, HelloFresh is selling a Rachel Green trifle kit this Thanksgiving. It's based on the Friends episode where Rachel tries to make a trifle for dessert but accidentally adds what ingredient?
What does Rachel add to a trifle dessert in Friends? Pepper.
Okay. Number four, the World Series kicks off today. The New York Yankees versus the Los Angeles Dodgers. Which team won more World Series?
Which team would won more World Series? Dodgers, Yankees.
And number five, Tom Hanks and Robin Wright will reunite in an upcoming movie together 30 years after working together in Forrest Gump. Forrest Gump was a novel written by who?
Who wrote Forrest Gump? No, we don't know.
All right, let me bring Raven back in.
Yo.
3 out of 5 for Marianne.
Oh, not great, not terrible. Let's see how I do.
Number one, Kelly Clarkson found out she was pre-diabetic and said she had to start listening to her doctors. She once starred with another American Idol finalist, Justin Guarini, in a movie that was considered one of the biggest musical rom-com flops in history.
Hmm.
What was the name of that movie?
From Justin to Kelly.
Yes. Number two. And also, why is it from Justin to Kelly and not from Kelly to Justin?
Lots changed since then, Anna Zapp.
Number two, Tom Holland has been very open about his 3-year sobriety journey. What superhero does Tom Holland portray?
He's Spider-Man.
That's right. I don't know if they're ever going to get the next one out. We'll see. Number three, HelloFresh is selling a Rachel Green trifle kit this Thanksgiving. It's based on the Friends episode where Rachel tries to make a trifle for dessert, but accidentally adds what ingredient?
Salt, I'll just guess.
No, beef.
All right.
Number four, the World Series kicks off today. The New York Yankees versus the Los Angeles Dodgers. What team has won more World Series?
The Yankees.
The Yankees. You guys are tied at 3. The Yankees has the most World Series of all times. They have 27. The Dodgers have won 7.
Thanks, Wikipedia.
You're welcome. Number five, Tom Hanks and Robin Wright will reunite in an upcoming movie together 30 years after working together on Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
Forrest Gump was originally a novel written by who?
That's easy. Stephen King, the best writer of our time.
I mean, you know that's not true. Why don't you even just guess a different
name? Robert Zemeckis? He's the director, I think.
Is that the guy from Honey, I Shrunk the Kids?
I don't think so. That's Robert Moranis.
Oh, never mind. All right, Marianne, you guys tied at 3. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
Frank Moranis? Somebody.
This is Marianne and I can't be Raven.
Rick Moranis.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
It.
Mm. Yeah, definitely not.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl. $1,100 come Monday, Anna.
Who are we thinking of, Zemeckis? What are we even thinking of?
It's a writer. He's a director and a writer. Robert Zemeckis. He did Forrest Gump, but okay. I don't think he wrote the book, obviously. Stephen King did that.
No, Winston Groom did that.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and 4-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.